brought to you by the Cannabis Bee Network.
Here is the Cannabis Bee News with your host, Scott Jacobs.
Hello, listeners. How's it going today? This is episode CBN 061, 11-6-2013. Let's roll into article number one. Colorado marijuana taxes Prop AA passes. Legal weed will be taxed. Take it away.
Colorado marijuana taxes Prop AA passes. Legal weed will be taxed. By Matt Ferner. Source, Huffington Post. A year after Colorado voters approved the legal recreational use of marijuana by adults, state voters approved a 15% excise tax and 10% sales tax on all recreational marijuana sales in the state, Tuesday night. Talk about taxes. Proposition AA creates a 15% excise tax on wholesale marijuana sales, the revenue from which will fund public school construction, and a 10% special sales tax on retail sales to fund marijuana regulation in the state. The taxes are expected to generate roughly $70 million in additional revenue for the state in 2014. This was the last piece of this marijuana policy marathon, the last leg, Republican Dan Pabuan told the Huffington Post about the tax measures. It's part and parcel to all the work we did in the regulatory piece, because if you don't have means to enforce this, the laws will be rendered meaningless, and this is the last critical piece to the work the legislature did. In a call back to his 2012 quote, "Don't break out the Cheetos or the goldfish yet" before the Department of Justice had announced that they would allow Colorado's pot laws to take effect, Governor John Hickenlooper posted this good humor tweet late Tuesday night. There were some in opposition to the tax measures who even handed out free marijuana joints in protest, but it was widely believed that the tax measures would pass. An April survey from Public Policy Polling about the tax measures showed 77% of Colorado voters supported both the excise and sales tax proposals. Only 18% of those surveyed were opposed to increased taxes on legal pot sales. There was also strong support for the tax measures from Colorado politicians from both parties, including Democratic Governor Hickenlooper and Republican Attorney General John Southers. "Despite my strongly held personal belief that the legalization of marijuana on a state level is very bad public policy, the state must do the best job possible of implementing Amendment 64 and regulating the new recreational marijuana industry," Southers said in August. Hickenlooper, who was once one of the most high-profile opponents of marijuana legalization in the state, urged Colorado voters to approve the tax measures earlier this year. "We need to make sure we have the resources to have a good regulatory framework to manage this," Hickenlooper said to the Denver Post. The first recreational marijuana shops in Colorado will open their doors for the first time in U.S. history on January 1, 2014. It is expected that more than 100 will make history on that day.
Article number 2. Five states with upcoming cannabis initiatives.
Five states with upcoming cannabis initiatives. By Anna Wilcox. Source, Leafly. With a quarter of Americans willing to try recreational cannabis if it were legal, many states have upped the ante on legalization initiatives. While there are no federal elections this year, national attention is going to the races in some key states. Many political scholars claim that the odd-year elections, namely the gubernatorial elections in New Jersey and Virginia, as well as the New York mayoral election, are good predictors of the type of government we'll have come 2016. Getting voters to talk about cannabis now is one hopeful push toward making the herb something to address during the next federal elections. Here are some initiatives to keep track of. Maine. The primary prospective cannabis state to watch is Maine, where the already decriminalized city of Portland has a recreational initiative on the ballot. On November 5, voters in Portland, Maine are hoping for full legalization. Taking after Washington and Colorado, cannabis would be legal in Portland only for adults 21 and over. Portlanders would be able to possess 2.5 ounces of the plant, but purchasing and sales would still be illegal. Supporters are hoping that the Maine elections will spearhead cannabis reform on the East Coast, where states like New York have had three bills proposed in the last year to create a medical cannabis market. With Maine taking progressive leadership on the subject, writings such as a recent Polisemic piece are pushing for the newly elected New York mayor to be determined to make cannabis a topic of discussion. While Maine is a major player this election year, activists and volunteers in many states are pushing to see cannabis on the ballot for the 2014 elections. Here are some states that are currently petitioning for 2014 reform. Alaska. Alaska may be the next member of the West Coast Club of Pro-Cannabis States. For the past year, volunteers and advocates have been working to spread awareness and collect 45,000 grow signatures. With only a month to go, the campaign to regulate marijuana needs about 20,000 more signatures by December 1 to get a full legalization bill on the ballot for 2014. The bill would tax and regulate the production, use, and sales of cannabis for adults 21 and over. Oregon. On October 25, New Approach Oregon filed an initiative to the Secretary of State's office to legalize recreational cannabis. While Oregonians had the opportunity to legalize last year, the measure fell through with 55% of voters striking down the bill. Unlike the previous initiative, the new one is expected to pass due to the financial backing of Progressive Insurance, the Drug Policy Alliance, and the American Victory Coalition. Arkansas. Two petitions for medical cannabis legalization are circulating around Arkansas. Last year, medical cannabis initiatives lost by a slim margin of 49 to 51. This year, activists are much more hopeful. Arkansans for Compassionate Care is the sponsor for the Arkansas for Medical Cannabis Act, which aims to legalize the possession of medical cannabis for qualified patients with a healthcare provider's recommendation. If approved, Arkansas will be the first southern state to legalize medical cannabis. The act needs 62,000 signatures by July 2014 to be placed on the ballot. Florida. Though medical cannabis supporters have experienced backlash from legislates, United for Care has drafted a petition to get medical cannabis on the ballot for 2014. So far, 200,000 of the near 700,000 needed signatures have been collected. While the initiative alone indicates a possibility of change in the future, Florida voters will have to be particularly proactive if they want to vote for medical cannabis in 2014. Last week, Florida legislators stated that they plan to take the medical cannabis issue to the Supreme Court in hopes of blocking any upcoming bills.
Article number 3. Medical marijuana in Oregon. Local governments cannot regulate dispensaries, state lawyers say. Take it away.
Medical marijuana in Oregon. Local governments cannot regulate dispensaries, state lawyers say. By Noel Crombie. Source, The Oregon AIM. The state, not local governments, may regulate medical marijuana outlets in Oregon, according to an analysis by attorneys for the legislature. In response to the law, the Medford City Council last month unanimously approved a change to the city's business license ordinance, stipulating that establishments must be in compliance with local, state, and federal laws. Marijuana is outlawed under federal law. Other Oregon communities are considering similar restrictions. Tuesday's legal analysis, signed by Charles D. Taylor, Senior Deputy Legislative Counsel, concluded that HB 3460 preempts most municipal laws specifically targeting medical marijuana facilities. We conclude that while a municipality may not be required to violate federal law to comply with a conflicting state law, a municipality may not act contrary to state law merely because the municipality believes that the action will better carry out the purposes and objectives of federal law, Taylor wrote. The opinion, though not binding, is a significant political win for medical marijuana advocates who have long sought statewide retail access to the drug. I think its message is clear: it's inappropriate for cities or counties under both laws to just try and force them out and not allow them at all, said Jeff Suderman, a political consultant who helped draft the bill. What it says is these facilities have been approved by the state and they have a right to exist. He said he hopes the opinion spurs discussions between city officials concerned about these establishments and entrepreneurs interested in opening them. A city who might go down the path of flat-out banning dispensaries now faces a real legitimate legal challenge, and it's probably not cost-effective to fight this battle in court, Sugarman said. Scott Winkles, a lobbyist for the League of Oregon Cities, said he doesn't think the opinion changes anything. They are not our attorney, he said. Our read is different, and we think the cities maintain local control on this. Leland Berger, a Portland attorney and medical marijuana advocate, said Medford and other cities can either spend money battling dispensaries or municipalities can make the decision to create a revenue stream from compassionate business owners. I would hope that legislative council's opinion would give those city attorneys pause about the advice they have given municipalities, he said. The state's new so-called GMO law, which allows only the state to regulate plant seeds, factored into Taylor's analysis. The law, which wasn't aimed at cannabis production and sales, prohibits local governments from regulating commercial plant seeds and products. Supporters of the bill, approved last month, want to prevent local governments from imposing their own rules on genetically modified crops. According to Taylor's analysis, The GMO law may present some barriers to municipal attempts to specifically target medical marijuana facilities. He wrote, under the new law, a city could require medical marijuana retailers to comply with a local business license ordinance, but could not enact or enforce the city ordinance in a manner that is intended to prevent or materially inhibit, or has the effect of preventing or materially inhibiting, the growing, possession or distribution of medical marijuana by a registered facility.
Article number 4. Michigan Senate looks to move medical marijuana into pharmacies, licensed manufacturing facilities. Take it away.
Michigan Senate looks to move medical marijuana into pharmacies, licensed manufacturing facilities. By Jonathan Oosting. Source, MLive. Michigan's Republican-led Senate is considering a plan to create a new system for regulating and distributing medical marijuana. Legislation introduced by Senator Roger Kahn and co-sponsored by Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville seeks to reclassify medical marijuana, licensed facilities to grow the drug and distribute it through authorized pharmacies. The system, which would require federal approval before it could be implemented, would treat marijuana as a Schedule II drug, similar to OxyContin or Percocet. Marijuana, if it's to be medical marijuana, should be held to the standard of medical safety and of dosage predictability, said Kahn, R. Saginaw Township. Senate Bill 660 would not replace or change Michigan's voter-approved medical marijuana law, according to Kahn, but it would create an independent pharmaceutical-grade cannabis registry. Patients and caregivers certified to use or grow plants under current law could continue to do so, but those who want to be part of the pharmaceutical registry would have to surrender their old cards and would not be authorized to grow or distribute the drug. The Senate Government Operations approved the measure in a 3-0 vote, sending it to the full Senate for consideration. Senate Minority Leader Gretchen Whitmer, D. East Lansing, did not vote on the bill, indicating she was uncomfortable supporting a proposal contingent upon future approval from the federal government. Richardville, R. Monroe, said he generally supports medical marijuana but does not think voters got what they bargained for when they approved the current law in 2008. There are people out there growing things irresponsibly and people getting sick because of it, he told reporters earlier Tuesday. It's getting into schoolyards and school kids' hands. I wouldn't call that a system. I would call that a problem. Rick Thompson, a magazine publisher with the Michigan chapter of Americans for Safe Access, said allegations of tainted medical marijuana leading to sickness are a smokescreen for an attempt to undermine the patient caregiver system that allows certified residents to grow their own. Cannabis never killed anyone in Michigan, and we've had the law for 5 years, Thompson said. There's been no testing, but yet there have been no illnesses. Under the newly proposed system, the Michigan Department of Community Health would be tasked with licensing, registering and inspecting pharmaceutical-grade marijuana manufacturing facilities. DCH could charge a reasonable fee for performing those functions, and would be required to create an online database listing licensed facilities. Anyone wishing to manufacture, distribute, prescribe or dispense marijuana would have to obtain a license from the Michigan Board of Pharmacy, as already required for other controlled substances. Former Republican State House Speaker Chuck Perricone, who now represents a company licensed to manufacture medical marijuana in Canada, testified in support of the bill and suggested the state should also tax the drug. The market for this is virtually untapped, Perricone said. The potential for the product is tremendous.
Article number 5. Industrial hemp in Oregon. State officials drafting rules for hemp production. Take it away.
Industrial hemp in Oregon. State officials drafting rules for hemp production. By Noel Crombie. Source, The Oregon AIN. Oregon agriculture officials on Tuesday said they hope to have rules in place for the possibility of producing industrial hemp by the spring planting season. The Oregon Department of Agriculture has assembled a committee of policy officials and agriculture experts, including Russ Caro, head of the Oregon State University Crop and Soil Science Program, to draft rules for industrial hemp production. Jim Kramer, director of the Market Access and Certification Program area of the Department of Agriculture, said the agency's focus is crafting robust rules for hemp. The committee will hold its first public meeting in December. Oregon is one of 7 states with laws that permit the production of industrial hemp, a non-intoxicating relative of marijuana grown for its sturdy fiber and seeds. Oregon agriculture officials have held off implementing the 2009 law, saying they would wait until the federal government reclassified marijuana from a substance prone to abuse and lacking medicinal value. An opinion issued in late August spelled out the government's decision not to challenge recreational marijuana laws in Washington and Colorado. The memo spelled out the government's priorities on marijuana and stated a robust system for enforcing state marijuana laws is less likely to threaten federal priorities. Kramer said the agency sought written confirmation from the federal government stating it would not oppose an industrial hemp program in Oregon, but it hasn't gotten a formal response. He said the committee is researching industrial hemp rules in Colorado, North Dakota, and Canada. He said Oregon's rules will cover fees, hemp processing, and testing that ensures the plant's tetrahydrocannabinol level is less than 0.3%. Kramer said the committee wants to create program rules that would meet federal approval. What we want is for the federal government to say these are robust, he said. He said the agency hopes to get clarification from the federal government on hemp by the time the rules are drafted.
Article number 6, 18 milestones that lead to our marijuana tipping point. Take it away.
18 milestones that led to our marijuana tipping point. By Matt Ferner. Source, Huffington Post. At a recent speech in Denver, Drug Policy Alliance Executive Director Ethan Nadelman declared that we've hit the tipping point on marijuana policy. With Colorado and Washington getting ready for the first ever legal, regulated, recreational marijuana retail market for adults in the U.S. With a majority of Americans recently saying for the first time in U.S. history that marijuana usage should be made legal. With a coalition of conservative Mormon mothers fighting for safe access to medicinal cannabis for their children, it's hard to disagree with him. Although much of this is recent history, it has been a long road to what very well may be the beginning of the end of marijuana prohibition in America. Here's a look back at the major milestones that helped bring the United States to its tipping point. 1. A long, long time ago, a plant grew on planet Earth. The cannabis plant has a long history. It's widely believed that humans' first contact with the plant was roughly 10,000 years ago in China, where some of the earliest archaeological evidence of hemp first originated. For thousands of years, the Chinese used it to make rope, paper, clothing and medicine. During the 2nd century AD, Chinese surgeon Hua Tuo even used cannabis as an anesthesia. 2. America's founding fathers were quick to celebrate its benefits. In the 17th century, American farmers were required by law to grow hemp in Virginia and the other colonies. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson grew hemp, and Benjamin Franklin owned a mill that is rumored to have used hemp paper. Meanwhile, his own newspaper, the Pennsylvania Gazette, espoused the benefits of the crop for multiple uses. For hundreds of years in the U.S., hemp was used to make rope, sails, lamp oil and clothing, until production dropped to zero in the late 1950s over anti-drug sentiment and competition from synthetic fibers. 3. And so were our Mexican neighbors. In the late 1800s, marijuana was sold in many over-the-counter medicinal products. During the Mexican Revolution in 1910, Mexican immigrants fleeing their home country to the U.S. began introducing the recreational use of marijuana to American culture. Early prejudices about the Spanish speakers became associated with marijuana use and crime, and the seeds to various stigmas about the drug were planted. 4. The Summer of Love brought smoking pot into the mainstream. As the good vibes from the Summer of Love spread out from San Francisco, the 1960s counterculture movement blossomed and marijuana use among the anti-establishment became the norm. Led by poet activist and marijuana newsletter publisher Ed Sanders with beat poet Allen Ginsberg at his side, the 1960s saw one of the first ever organized public protests against restrictive marijuana laws. Though the event itself was dubbed Lamar Legalize Marijuana, it later formed the basis for the California-based pot reform group Amorphia. 5. And policy organizations came on board. Oregon became the first state to reduce the penalty for marijuana possession in 1973, and that same year, the Schaefer Commission recommended that small quantities of marijuana should be legalized. President Richard Nixon ultimately rejected the advice of the commission. But the early 1970s still saw the creation of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Law NORML, a Washington, D.C.-based lobby dedicated to drug policy reform. The People's Pop Conference, the first political pro-reform conference. Cheech and Chong, a comedy duo whose material revolves around drug use and much more. Marijuana had begun to go mainstream. 6. High times called for high times. Acceptance for marijuana use grew in America by the mid-1970s, and the plant even got its own lifestyle magazine. Called High Times, the debut issue was published in 1974 and sold 45,000 copies. High Times is exclusively devoted to the promotion of pop culture and the drug's legalization to this day. 7. One man fought for his right to use medical marijuana, and won. Robert Randall became America's first legal medical marijuana patient in 1975, growing the plant himself in Washington, D.C., and using it to treat his glaucoma. 8. San Francisco became the first city to allow medical use. Leave it the home of the Summer of Love to become the first city to pass an ordinance that gave medical patients access to marijuana. In 1991, in a historic first, San Francisco did just that. 9. The rest of California soon followed its lead. Voters passed a ballot initiative in California that legalized the cultivation, possession and use of marijuana for medical purposes. 10 and so did 20 other states. Since 1996, 20 other states and the District of Columbia have followed California's lead, each passing some form of medical marijuana law. 11. Over the same time period, studies emerged showing cannabis can help fight cancer. A pair of scientists in San Francisco found that a compound derived from marijuana could stop metastasis and many kinds of aggressive cancer. A more recent study from the UK found that compounds derived from marijuana can kill cancerous cells in individuals with leukemia. 12 and help treat epilepsy. After using cannabis oil to treat her debilitating seizures, 6-year-old Charlotte Fiji saw her seizures fall from around 300 a week to just 3 over an 8-month period. 13. Then in 2012, the impossible happened. On Tuesday, November 12, 2012, voters in both Colorado and Washington approved ballot measures that legalize marijuana for recreational use for adults in each state. The first recreational marijuana shops will open in both states in 2014. 14 and the government says, yes, you can abuse. The United States government took a historic step back from its long-running drug war in August, when Attorney General Eric Holder informed the governors of Washington and Colorado that the Department of Justice would allow the states to create a regime that would regulate and implement the ballot initiatives that legalized the use of marijuana for adults. 15. Hemp laws expanded to unlikely states. Kentucky, a state not exactly known for embracing hippies or marijuana culture, legalized industrial hemp production in early 2013. North Dakota and West Virginia also have hemp laws on the books. 16 and the crop sprouted in U.S. soil once again. Farmers in Colorado made history in 2013 when they harvested a hemp crop, the first in the United States since 1957. 17. Marijuana is now largely considered to be the next great American industry. Cannabis business is the next great American industry, CEO Troy Dayton of the Arc View Group said during a recent investor meeting in Denver that resulted in over $1 million poured into startup marijuana businesses in Colorado. A study in November showed that legal marijuana is among the fastest growing markets in the United States, and it's poised to outpace the expansion of the global smartphone market. 18 and a clear majority agrees. For the first time in U.S. history, more than half of Americans think that marijuana usage should be made legal, according to a recent Gallup poll. 58% of Americans now back legalizing marijuana. That represents an 8-point increase from the previous record of 50% in 2011, and a 10-point increase from November 2012, just after Colorado and Washington voted for legalization.
All right, listeners, that's all I have for this episode. Until next episode, have a good day, good night, good week. Bye-bye.
We pollinated your mind. Now, go pollinate the world.